Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to chapter 16, verse 5. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers.
Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word this morning, we recognise that there are some difficult things to understand in these verses, but also some encouraging things that give us an insight into our frailties, but your sovereign care and love and guidance for those who trust in you. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us the wisdom and the guidance that you want us to see. We pray that you would reveal what you have for us this morning, Lord, by your Spirit. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, many of you will have heard the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor and theologian. And he was known for his opposition to the Nazi regime during the Second World War. Now, Bonhoeffer was quite involved in a plot to overthrow the Nazi regime, and in particular Hitler. And because of this, eventually he was captured and spent a little over a year in the concentration camps. I'm going to pronounce these wrong, first at Buchenwald and then later at Flossenbürg, where he was later executed just before the war ended in 1945. During Bonhoeffer's time in prison in these concentration camps, he, along with all of the other prisoners who were suffering all of the cruelties that went on during that time, were commanded to salute any German officer that walked by and say, "Heil Hitler." This went against every fibre of their being. Having seen and experienced the cruelty of the Nazis, you can imagine how hard it would be for them to be expected to salute these officers. But arguing with any German officer was the quickest way to get yourself executed. And so Bonhoeffer made the very difficult decision to submit to the Nazis' regime in this situation and salute the officers whenever they went by. One day when he was doing this, he noticed some of his fellow prisoners were refusing to salute the German officers. Bonhoeffer pulled them aside and quietly said, "Salute, you fool. This isn't worth dying for. We need to choose our battles carefully." In this broken world that we live in, where making decisions isn't always black and white, where it isn't always as easy as a right answer and a wrong answer, it can sometimes be hard to know which battles to choose and which ones to let go of. Many pastors would have refused to salute a German officer like that. And if Bonhoeffer had have chosen to do that, he would still be remembered as one of the very few Christian leaders at that time who stood up against the Nazi regime. But by making the decision to salute these German officers and encouraging other prisoners to do so, he may well have saved the lives of many of his fellow prisoners. Often making decisions as followers of Jesus isn't as simple as choosing the right way and avoiding the wrong way. We often have to make choices in this life that have no clear right or wrong answer. As we look at the consequences of the decisions that are being made in these verses, we'll see that the key to making wise and godly decisions in difficult situations is putting our preferences aside and choosing whatever brings the most glory to Christ. So in the first section, which is verse 36 to 41 of chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas make the decision to part ways. We were joking around the dinner table the other night about this being an appalling Barney. These verses start with the words "sometime later," which seems to imply that this happened a number of months after the ruling of the Jewish ruling council. And we're told that Paul went to Barnabas and asked him if he would come along and go to all of the places where they'd already been and preach the good news of Jesus. And both of them seemed to have thought that this was a good idea, something that was worth doing. But the trouble was that Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him, and Paul was dead against the idea. Now, before we get into the disagreement, I think it's helpful for us to get a bit of an understanding of who Mark was and how he fits into the early church. The characters, the people that we see in these verses and in the next section, we see all through our books of the Bible. So it's helpful for us to understand who we're looking at. Mark's mother was a follower of Jesus who was very involved in the early church. If you remember back to Acts chapter 12, when Peter was led out of prison by the angel, it was Mark's mother's house that Peter went to go and find the believers. Her house seems to have been a place where the early believers met on a regular basis, because Peter went there expecting to find a group of believers. And also because in chapter 12, we're told that when he went there, that what he found was a large gathering of people who were praying for him to be delivered from prison. Mark was also the cousin of Barnabas, which may have been making some of the influences in Barnabas' decision-making processes. And finally, Mark is one and the same, the person who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He's also often referred to as John Mark. So we need to understand John Mark and Mark that I'm referring to here is the same person. So why was Paul so against Mark coming along with him and Barnabas on this journey? Well, back in chapter 13, I mentioned that, and also in verse 13, it tells us that Mark left Paul and Barnabas and went back to Jerusalem. In fact, that's all it tells us. We aren't told why Mark left, but many suggestions have been made. Reading different commentators this week, I came across all sorts of weird and wonderful suggestions. Some have suggested that Mark may have been among those who were saying that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised and obey all the law of Moses in order to be saved. And so he may have left because of a rising tension between him and Paul. Others have suggested that Mark left because of fear, because of the rising persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And others have suggested that maybe he was ill, or maybe someone he loved was ill. The truth is, we just don't know. All we're told was that Mark left and went back to Jerusalem. But what we do know was that Paul believed that Mark going was deserting them, and he wasn't going to let that happen again. He didn't seem to think it was wise to take somebody who wasn't fully committed to the mission along with them. And sadly, this difference of opinion had caused such a big disagreement between Paul and Barnabas that these two brothers in Christ who had been through so much for the gospel together, so much serving Christ, parted ways. Paul was sticking to his guns based on what he thought was right, while Barnabas was sticking to his based on his desire to show Mark forgiveness and to give him another chance. Sadly, because they both saw this matter from such different perspectives, these two leaders in the early church parted ways. And as I thought about this week, I couldn't help but wonder if as they went later in two different groups to all of these churches, if they weren't confronted with the question, so where's Barnabas? Where's Paul? So who was right, Paul or Barnabas? Well, the truth is, we don't know. Maybe both, maybe neither of them. Paul and Silas were commissioned by the believers to make this journey, which could be signaling that Paul was in the right, but we can't be certain of that. It seems both of these godly men had good reasons for taking the position they took. This wasn't so much a question of right or wrong, but a matter of wisdom. And so Barnabas took Mark with him and went to his hometown of Cyprus, while Paul took Silas and went to Cilicia. Surely after everything that Paul and Barnabas had been through together for the gospel, you would have thought that they'd be able to find a compromise to what was a seemingly insignificant matter. But despite their unwillingness to put their preferences aside, God used their failure to get along to send out not just one mission team, but two. That brings us to chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, where Paul makes a very strange decision. Now, as Paul and Silas began their journey together, they made their way from Cilicia to Lystra, where they met a young man, a young follower of Jesus named Timothy. This is the same Timothy that 1 and 2 Timothy are written to. This young man was held in high regard by all of the believers in Lystra, and Paul was so impressed by this young man that he wanted to take him along with him on mission. Timothy was clearly very willing to do so because in verse 3 we're told that Paul had Timothy circumcised, which was an incredibly strange decision. Now, why would I say that? Well, last week in the beginning of chapter 15, we read about how Paul and Barnabas had gone to the church in Jerusalem so that they could refute those teaching that for anyone to be saved, they had to obey all the law of Moses. And an important part of obeying the law of Moses for a male was being circumcised. And to top all of that off, all the reasons why this is a strange decision by Paul, on another occasion, which is recorded in the book of Galatians, Paul didn't require the same thing of Titus when Titus went along with Paul as his traveling companion. There in Galatians chapter 2, Paul wrote, "Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek." So what's going on here? Why did Paul have Timothy circumcised, and why didn't he expect the same thing from Titus? And why would he do this just after the church leaders at Jerusalem had said, you don't need to be circumcised to be saved? Well, in Galatians chapter 2, when Paul took Titus along with him as his traveling companion, Paul was dealing with false teachers who were saying that circumcision was necessary for salvation. Paul knew that if Titus had been circumcised, it would have undermined the good news of Jesus, because it would have looked like Paul was giving in to those who were teaching these false teachings. But here, as we get to chapter 16 in Acts, Paul has Timothy circumcised because he was no longer facing the same kind of opposition. That matter had been dealt with at the Council of Jerusalem. And Paul also knew that by doing this, it would make his ministry so much easier. It would be so much easier for them to enter the Jewish synagogues on the Sabbath, which was always Paul's preferred method for sharing the gospel with the Jews. Now, of course, this wasn't a black and white matter. This was a matter of wisdom. It wasn't wrong for Timothy to be circumcised. As long as he knew that it wouldn't affect his salvation if he did or didn't do it, it wouldn't have been wrong if he hadn't been circumcised. After all, Paul hadn't required the same thing of Titus. What Paul was doing was removing any stumbling block in the way of sharing the good news of Jesus, depending on the circumstances at the time. In these situations, Paul was putting his preferences aside and choosing whatever brought the most glory to Christ. What can we take away from these verses? Well, the first thing these verses show us, and I'm very thankful for their honesty in the way they do, they show us that godly leaders in churches will disagree at times. And they remind us that all believers, in fact, will disagree at times. Those disagreements should not get in the way of us sharing the good news of Jesus. Even though Paul and Barnabas were unable to find an agreement on this particular matter, both of them still went on to encourage the believers and share the good news of Jesus wherever they went. Neither of them stepped back from the mission of sharing the good news. They simply continued it in different ways. And God used their obedience, despite this disagreement, using both of these mission teams to share the good news of Jesus. Believers won't always agree on everything because we all have different personalities and we often see things from different perspectives. But if we're willing to put aside our preferences and choose whatever brings God the most glory, then we'll find a way to honor him, even in those times when we aren't able to agree. Second thing these verses show us is that disagreement doesn't have to destroy our love for Christ or for each other. Even though Paul and Barnabas weren't able to reach an agreement, they continue to work separately towards the same goal of sharing the good news of Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 9, verse 5, seems to be implying that later on, Paul and Barnabas were reconciled. Because in those verses, Paul speaks about Barnabas as an equal co-worker in the gospel. But more than that, Paul actually changed his mind about Mark. In fact, in his old age, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 11, he writes, "Only Luke is with me, yet Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Which means that even though we will disagree at times, and sometimes those disagreements will be serious, reconciliation is possible as long as we continue to choose whatever brings the most glory to Christ. And then lastly, these verses are teaching us that sometimes we may need to let go of our rights and privileges in order to bring the most glory to Christ. Paul knew that Timothy didn't need to be circumcised. Timothy had faith in the completed work of Christ. Timothy was saved by what Jesus had done for him on the cross. He didn't need to be circumcised to be saved. But for the sake of the gospel, to make it easier for them to share the good news of Jesus, Timothy chose to give up that freedom, the freedom that he had in Christ to gain opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. And believers have to make decisions like this all the time. not so much about circumcision, but about all sorts of other matters. Is it okay for us to go down to the local pub and have a beer, to go and make connections in our community? Or would that be sending the wrong message? Should I be participating in sports on Sunday or doing that essential job on the farm? Or should I be prioritizing spending time with God's people? What is excessive when it comes to buying luxury items to spoil ourselves every now and again? Should we be spending that money on ourselves, or should we be spending it on gospel mission? Should we watch another hour of TV or read another chapter in that novel that we just can't seem to put down? Or should we spend time reading God's word and talking to him? There isn't a clear right or wrong answer to any of those questions. Sometimes we'll choose one of them, depending on the circumstances, and sometimes we'll choose the other. Key to making wise and godly decisions in all of these situations is being willing to put our preferences aside and choosing whatever brings the most glory to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we know that your word in the book of James tells us that if we lack wisdom, to ask for it. So, Lord, we ask that your spirit would grant us wisdom, wisdom to discern how to follow your guidance, how to seek the most glory for Christ, how to live for you. Lord, when we make decisions in this broken world, it is often not clear which way you want us to go. Lord, help us to seek your guidance from your word, to keep coming before you in prayer as we seek your will, and help us to make decisions and to live in a way that brings glory to Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.